rangatira ma, no mai ki te pai o te Waunui. You're listening to Te Waunui, a wrap of the week's Māori news here on RNZ National. Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Jamie Tahana aho. This week we have reaction to a landmark Supreme Court decision which could have implications for treaty settlements. The head of the Māori Health Authority makes commitments to reduce disparities, and we cover the Māori language honours. But first, Ngāti Maniapoto is describing an apology and treaty settlement as a fresh start for relations with the Crown. The Prime Minister travelled to Te Rohe Pōtai, the King Country, to apologise for more than 150 years of treaty breaches. I was at Tiku Iti Pā for the apology. Their words Mini Maniapoto have been waiting more than a century to hear.
The Crown delivers this long overdue apology.
Jacinda Ardern, marking an end to more than 30 years of negotiations for the King Country Iwi.
In apologising, the Crown takes responsibility for the pain and hurt it has caused and makes commitments to you which it will uphold. The Crown profoundly regrets its horrific and needless acts of war in Raupatu, which have caused you and your hapū intergenerational suffering. Instead of respecting your mana whakahaere, the Crown killed and injured your people and pillaged your land and property.
Ngāti Maniapoto historian and kaumātua Tom Roa details an extensive list of breaches. Maniapoto Rangatira signed the treaty expecting a new dawn of friendship. But 20 years later, the Crown marched inland.
Well, that friendship disappeared, actually destroyed.
In the Waikato Wars, thousands of refugees sought shelter with Maniapoto, including the Kingitanga, hence the King Country. In the late 19th century, the region held out as a self-governed rohe, bordered by the Puniu River. Maniapoto signed a kawinata to protect its sovereignty, but this was ignored. Right into the 20th century, the Crown used various means to acquire more land and used other means to suppress Maniapoto reo and culture.
Tragic circumstances in our history, which if we deal with them properly as we will today, tomorrow will be much better for our children, our grandchildren, both of the Māori world and of the other than Māori worlds that use this space.
The apology was delivered from the Māho of Te Tokanga Nui Anoho, built by Te Kōti and opened 150 years ago. The gazing eyes of its tiko tiko have seen it all. The flood of refugees from war, the loss of the rolling hills which surround it, and a railway cut across the front. It's borne witness to the destitution wrought by colonisation, but also been a source of unity and faith for Maniapoto. And now it's seen an apology. From the paipai, rangatira welcomed with hope, but also reservation.
We have every faith in the integrity and the intent of your words today, Prime Minister. But what cannot follow is the selective amnesia by future officials and governments as we today agree to the settlement of Ngāti Maniapoto.
As part of its settlement, Ngāti Maniapoto will also receive $165 million and a range of other redress. The post-settlement trust is called Te Nehe Nehe Nui, a name bestowed generations ago to describe the once bountiful forest that covered these bald hills. It's also the name given to a kawinata signed in 1903 to unite Maniapoto. The trust's chair, Balatakiari Brame, says they're stepping into the future with sights firmly on the past.
I wouldn't say it will be enough to address all the inequities and the haro and the hurt that we've experienced in the last 150 years, but it will be the beginning. It's the beginning of a new partnership with the Crown.
She says it's time for Maniapoto to restore its mana motuhake, bring its reo back, close disparities and build a future. A Wairarapa hapū wants the government to remove it from a proposed treaty settlement set to pass through Parliament. The Supreme Court this week found in favour of an earlier Waitangi Tribunal ruling that land at Puakani in Waikato should be returned to Wairarapa Moana, despite them not being mana whenua. But a settlement for the Wairangati Kahungunu ki Wairarapa Tāmaki Nui Arua iwi, which is due to have its third reading, could extinguish Wairarapa Moana's challenges to the tribunal. The chair of Wairarapa Moana Incorporated, Kingi Smiler, told me his group should be removed from the settlement.
Certainly all the ruling allows us now to take that forward in the tribunal, and of course we would hope that the Prime Minister and Minister of Treaty Settlements will take this matter very seriously in terms of due process and natural justice and allow us to complete that process with the Waitangi Tribunal. The solution to the problem, Jamie, is to exclude Y85 from the settlement bill to allow the whānau to settle that part of the treaty claim and allow Y85 to be completed in the Waitangi Tribunal. But of course, the Labor government are refusing to do that.
Have you heard anything from, because all Andrew Little said publicly right now is he's digesting the judgment and waiting on official advice. Have you heard anything at all from?
And no, and we haven't heard anything either. But, you know, that is, you know, there's usually radio, they maintain radio silence on these matters most of the time. And generally speaking, they just proceed to plough ahead to override both what the Waitangi Tribunal have said. The Waitangi Tribunal in their urgent hearing report clearly stated that the incorporation held the mandate and that the settlement trust did not hold the mandate on Y85, and therefore they should pause the treaty settlement process while they continue to bulldoze and go forward with the bill and the select committee process. And they too, at this stage, with the majority of Labor, have continued that process.
Does the Supreme Court make any determination in terms of, you know, progressing Y85?
They've set some clear ground rules to say a couple of the key points are is that it's the Waitangi Tribunal's report was a preliminary report, and therefore there is still the opportunity for Wairarapa Moana to work with the Waitangi Tribunal on the matter of who is an appropriate entity to receive a resumption should that be ordered. And so the Supreme Court said that matter is, in legal terms, not moot, and that it's an iterative process that still needs to be completed. And the other key point that they made was that mana whenua was not necessarily the determining framework, which is where they've overturned the High Court ruling, that there are tikanga processes that can be considered by the tribunal.
Well, what is the solution here? Because you're calling for Y85 to be removed.
So what that allows us, well, allows two things. It allows the whānau to actually do the rest of the settlement, and it allows Wairarapa Moana to carry the Y85 claim directly through the Waitangi Tribunal. But at the moment, the Crown are forcing the Settlement Trust to settle with Y85 included, because they're obviously concerned about the extent of the compensation that will flow should the Waitangi Tribunal order the resumption. I mean, our concern is they're just looking after their self-interest and not due process, because they have the ability to extinguish it with the bill.
There's a fair bit of hara here, because we also have, you know, the wider whānau of Kahungunu ki Wairarapa, but you've also got concerns from Tuwhare Toa and Raukawa. What is the appropriate sort of path of resolution here? Well, because the settlement process is bruising, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. And I mean, the first issue is that all of this is created by the Crown. So the hara is with all of us, Tuwhare Toa, Raukawa, Hawakani Claim Trust, and we'll come back to that, and Wairarapa Moana Ngāti Kahungunu. All of these issues have been created by the Crown, and that in a set of circumstances, the Crown continue to manipulate the situation given a set of circumstances, both Raukawa and Tū Whareto have had the opportunity and have done and have settled their claims with the Crown, which is fair enough. And we think it's only reasonable that Wairarapa Moana, given its set of special circumstances, should be given its opportunity to resolve its claims with the Crown. We don't see this as cutting across what they've done. We just seek our own opportunity to resolve our matters for all the treaty breaches that the claim the Crown created against Wairarapa Moana and Ngāti Kahununu.
Well, the Treaty Settlements Minister, Andrew Little, says he's going through the ruling and waiting on the advice of officials before deciding next steps. But of course, it's a complex decision. The chair of Ngāti Kahungunu Ki Wairarapa Tāmaki Nui Arua Settlement Trust, Hami Te Whaiti, says their people have made it clear they've already waited 30 years for settlement and they don't want to wait any longer. He says he hopes the settlement will be able to progress considering the Supreme Court decision. Meanwhile, Ngāti Raukawa, who have mana whenua over the Puakani area, also have concerns. Pōkiri Paiwai asked a spokesperson for the Raukawa Settlement Trust, Baden Vertongen, what he thought of the ruling.
I think the direction of the Raukawa Settlement Trust is a bit disappointed that the Supreme Court decision hasn't given any finality to the issue and it's freed life back into what's been quite a challenging and hurtful issue for Raukawa, and really without changing the position of any of the parties significantly. As Raukawa understand it, the significant majority of the Ngāti Kahununu claimant community has agreed to settle their claims regardless of where things were at in the Supreme Court, and Raukawa has been supportive of that approach because it is an approach that doesn't repeat some of the harms and grievances of the past upon Raukawa.
Is there a way you think that maybe the grievances of both Wairarapa Moana and Ngāti Raukawa could be resolved in a satisfactory way?
You never say never. One of the challenges Raukawa's had is being able to sort of sit down and have that discussion with particularly the Wairarapa Moana Incorporation, whose comments in some of the Supreme Court decisions about how litigious and aggressive their approach was and how they have tried to exclude Raukawa from discussions about land over which Raukawa has mana whenua and has sought to exclude Raukawa from the tribunal. Tribunal process. So that's been probably the barrier for some of those discussions to happen. So, and you never say never, but I think the problem would be is that even if those discussions did happen and there was a solution, there would still be years of litigation again where the Crown and other parties try and fight those outcomes.
Are there any positives, any silver linings that Ngāti Raukawa are taking out of the Supreme Court decision?
Yeah, I think there's some really good discussion in the Supreme Court decision about how valid the Raukawa concerns were and how understandable their concern was that the use of whenua in the Raukawa Takiwā to settle grievances for Ngāti Kahununu, how concerning they were and that they're a valid source of grievance. So there's quite strong statements in the Supreme Court decision about that. And the Supreme Court draws on some of the evidence from Raukawa Kaumātua quite strongly in that. So I think Raukawa are feeling quite pleased that somebody has seen that those issues are live ones and hurtful ones for Raukawa.
That's Ngāti Raukawa's Baden Vertongen. E ari ari mai o koutou tāringa ki te Waonui. You're listening to Te Waonui, a wrap of the week's Māori news here on RNZ National. Ko Jamie Tahana tēnei. The new Māori Health Authority predicts the 7-year life expectancy gap between Māori and non-Māori should be falling within 5 years, as its chief executive makes a commitment to change. Alice Stewart explores the stubborn gap which has seen Māori watch their whānau die sicker and younger than the rest of the population.
Graham King knows the reality of Māori lives being cut short. His father and grandmother died of complications related to type 2 diabetes, and he was just 35 when he was diagnosed with the condition, which affects Māori twice as much as non-Māori. Now in his 60s, he wants to live a longer and healthier life so that he can be around for his mokopuna.
I want to make sure that they get the best out of me, so they sort of inspire you to stop smoking, should you really be eating that cake and stuff, you know? That's one of the motivations to stay healthy for me.
He says if you visit his family urupa, you'll see a lot of his tūpuna did not live to old age.
The system has showed that it doesn't work for Māori, but we've got to be the ones to stand up because we're tangata whenua.
Māori die on average 7 years earlier than non-Māori, and it's one of the reasons the government set up Te Akawhai Ora, the Māori Health Authority. But according to a study by the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, at the current rate of progress, it will be more than a century before Māori and non-Māori have an equal life expectancy. Authority Chief Executive Rihanna Manuel wants to change that.
You have to be really, really determined to look at the people who have the less life expectancy and decide to put initiatives in place without being afraid of what that's saying. All it's saying is that we want everybody to live good lives for as long as they possibly can.
Ms. Manuel doesn't want to put a firm target on when that gap will close, but commits to making a meaningful reduction within 5 years. And she believes it's achievable.
If we all get around the table and accept that we have a responsibility here to look at the life and well-being of only 5 million odd people, then we should be able to affect that change fairly quickly.
Auckland University of Technology Professor Jackie Kidd says Māori are not getting a good deal within the health system.
At every single step of our life course and at every step of our engagement with the health sector, there are disparities. And what happens is those disparities become cumulative, and over time it results in not only dying 7 years earlier, but it also means that we tend to be sicker prior to passing away.
Ms. Kidd thinks it's possible to reach a significant shift in 5 years, but says targets are necessary to hold health services and health professionals to account. She believes racism is a big barrier standing in the way of Māori living longer.
There is one story about a kuia who sat for 4.5 hours in a clinic room on those horrible hard chairs because when her name was called out to go and attend her appointment, it was so badly mispronounced that she didn't understand it. So not only did she miss her appointment because she didn't hear her name, nobody checked on her in that time. That's what racism looks like.
Meanwhile, those hoping for meaningful change to reduce the life expectancy gap for Māori will be keeping a close eye on Te Whatu Ora and Te Akawhai Ora when the renewed health targets are released early next year.
A special ceremony was held in Auckland this weekend to celebrate those who have spearheaded the revitalisation of Te Reo Māori over the last 50 years. Chief Executive of Te Tauraferi, Ngāhiwi Apanui, says the awards acknowledged those who laid the foundations for the movement. Here, he speaks about the awards and the future of Te Reo Māori.
Ngāre, ko te kaupapa o ngā o te pua pōpō, tuatahi. He mihi ki te whakapapa, miki o te whakarauoratanga o te reo Māori, i roto i ngā rima te kautau ko tahake nei. Tūrua ki te mihi anō hoki ki te hunga i whakaputa hua, i ora ai te reo, i kā te ahi anō hoki i roto i te hunga e aroha nei ki te reo Māori, kia hoki mai hei reo, hei kōrero, eke mō Aotearoa katoa. Nā reira, ko ngā tohu a pōpō, e mihi ana, ki te hunga i whakatakoto i te pētihana reo Māori, me ki whaimuri i tērā ko te kohanga reo, ko ngā kura kaupapa, ko ngā reo irirangi, te whakaata Māori, te tauraferi, te whakamananga o tō tātou reo. Pānoa mai ki tīnei, tīnei rā, e mihi nei tātou ki ēnei, me ki te hunga māia, whakatō i te tuāpapa mo te reo Māori i tīnei rā. Ko tahi te mate ki te tanga oku ana, kia kōrero Māori a Aotearoa katoa. I te mea hoki, e ki ana ngā tātauranga ko te waru o te tekau o ngā tāngata katoa kei tō tātou whenua e whakapono ana ko te reo Māori tētahi wāhanga nui o tō tātou tuakiritanga āmotu. Tā ēnei tu āhuatanga, ēnei tohu, e mea mai ane kiau, a tōna wā, ka kōrero Māori a Aotearoa. A ngā tekau mārua, tekau mātoru taurane, ka kōrero Māori Aotearoa Katoa, engari me mātua manaaki. E tātou, te hunga mōhio ki te kōrero Māori, te hunga e ako ana. Kaua e whakahe, engari me tautoko ahako kōwai. Koinei tētahi āruetanga e kite nei mātou i roto i ngā rangahautanga katoa, e pāna ki te ako i te reo Māori. Ko te manaaki, i te tangata e ako ana me he Māori, ana e whakaaro ana ia, nā te me he Māori me tere ake taku mau i te reo Māori, engari, tāre e tino tere, tere āruetanga nā reira, kia rātou tonu kua kore e tutuki. Me he Pākehā, ana, ko te whakaaro tonu, e tika ana kia ako au i tēnei reo, nā te me he, ko te reo Māori tēnei, he reo no te iwi kē, he reo maira no e pēhia ana e ngā kāwanatanga me pēhia. Ahoe no, ko ērā āhuatanga ērā, engari i te kaiako e manaaki ana i inei ākonga me āta whakaaro ki ērā.
That was Ngāhiwi Apanui, Chief Executive of Te Taurāwhiri, telling us some of those honoured, such as those involved with the Reo Māori petition, the Kohanga Reo movement, Whakaata Māori and other broadcasting initiatives, should be acknowledged for laying the foundation for Te Reo today. He also said he hopes in the future everyone in Aotearoa will be able to speak Te Reo Māori. Nā te wao nui tēnei wiki. That's Te Wao Nui for this week. You can find all our Māori news stories on our website, rnz.co.nz, under the Te Ao Māori section. Thanks for joining us. Ko Jamie Tahana tēnei, noho ora mai, tēnā koutou katoa.